connected. Let us get connected. Okay, here we go this morning. Now today we're going to continue on in a study called Soul Man. And for those who haven't been here for the former teachings, this is really a study that's intended to bring all of those scriptures about freedom, liberty, peace, joy, a light yoke, all of those scriptures that we read in the Bible that seem so wonderful, but we never experience them as believers. We read about them, but we're thinking, you know, hey, that's great, I long for that, but I just don't experience that. The intent of this series is to bring you into a place of realization and you being able to experience the fulfillment of those scriptures in your own life. Now, recapping what we've talked about so far would take too long. So as Indigo Montoya said in the Princess movie, Princess Bride, let me sum up. Now we're created as tripart creatures. What are we? Spirit, soul, and body. We are spirit, soul, and body. And our body, this part of us, houses the two immaterial parts of our nature. And this body, on this plane anyway, is necessary for the expression of our soul and our spirit. And our spirit, the spirit part of us, is necessary for us because it enables us to have a relationship with God. The Bible says God is spirit. And when God comes into your life, He wants to become one with you. And He becomes one when you invite Him into your life and submit your life to Him. He becomes one with your spirit, and He actually lives inside of you. Now, the other part, the other immaterial part we've been talking about is called the soul. What is the soul? I'm glad you asked. The soul is your individual personality and your sense of self. Your soul is what makes you unique from everyone else in the world. Now, it's predisposed to certain traits. I mean, in other words, you've got certain talents and abilities. You've got certain personality traits that are in you. When you're born and when God breathes into you the breath of life, but your soul can also be shaped by what you go through in life. Sin, whether your own or whether somebody else's sins against you, those sins war against the created nature of our soul. They intend to wound us. They intend to restrict your soul, limiting your ability to fulfill your full destiny and to be the person that God has created you to be. And brothers and sisters, it's not just wounds that come through sin that can hurt us and damage the soul, but just the imperfections of life can cause things that are difficult to get past. You can have somebody very important to you in your life die. You can have a dream not be fulfilled in your life, and that can be a very difficult thing to get past. You can have a disappointment. And if all of these things, and if they're not handled scripturally and biblically, all of these things can cause wounding in the soul. And not just wounding in the soul, but lasting effects that have a dramatic negative effect upon our life. Because you see, wounds in this life are just a part of living. It's impossible to go through this life without being wounded. Jesus said, in this life, it's impossible that offenses won't come. Stumbling blocks. Things that are hard to get past. So that's not unusual, and it's not necessarily something that's going to destroy your life. But when you get wounded in your flesh, it's very important how you take care of it. Because if you don't properly take care of a physical problem or a physical wound in your flesh, then that wound can lead to what? Disease. And disease can be something in your life that can cause you sickness and an inability to maybe even move forward in your life. Now, our soul is created to be in subjection to the spirit. But when we're wounded in our soul, sometimes our soul and our spirit may not walk together in agreement. The Holy Spirit, when He comes into your life, may be saying certain things to you. Out of the Word of God, are there a lot of promises and beautiful things in this Word? There are. But as I said earlier, sometimes we can read some of these things, and it's just like a foreign language to us. Because we think, boy, that looks great and that looks beautiful and I'd love to have it, but I just never experienced it. Anybody ever read anything in the Bible and you just say, it looks great, but I've never experienced it? I have. There was a couple of scriptures. One, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, but the peace that comes from God. When I read that scripture, there was a long period in my life after becoming a believer. Everybody say after. That I didn't experience that. There was another that says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I walked around with a heavy burden on me all the time as a believer. And I read that and it looked beautiful and I longed for it, but I never was able to experience it. There was a war or a disagreement going on between my soul, which is my sense of self and my personality, and the very Spirit of God. God was saying one thing, my soul was saying, that's not possible. It's not possible for you. Now, last Sunday, we looked at the part that the blood of Jesus plays in the deliverance of the soul. Wow, the blood of Jesus frees the soul from the power of sin. What does it free us from? It frees us from sin's guilt. It frees us from sin's controlling nature. It frees us from sin's tendency to define us. Not just the sins that we've committed, but the sins that other people have committed against us. You see, when we become a believer, we go through a death experience. We really do. The Bible tells us about it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says this, I have been crucified. Let's stop right there. It's not talking about just Jesus' crucifixion. It is talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. But the Bible says that by faith in Jesus, you have been crucified with Christ. And through being crucified with Him, I no longer live. Who no longer lives? The old me. The old me what? That has a history. The old me that's controlled by certain behaviors. The old me that had things done to it that just can't get past it. A dead person. We talked about a dead person. A dead person no longer sins. Why? Because they're dead. But look at your neighbor and say, you look dead. You smell dead. You're reeking. I'm telling you. Dead people are not controlled by pornography. Dead people are not alcoholics. Dead people are not drug addicts. Dead people are not controlled by rage. Dead people are not victims. Dead people are not controlled by anyone. But you know, and that's how the blood of Jesus has freed us. It freed us. It freed us. But praise God, the story doesn't stop there. Because we have a life to live. We just can't stay in a grave. We can't stay in a dead situation. We have to live. And so through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of you that know Him and have given your life to Him, you've been raised from the dead through the resurrection of Jesus. Now let's look at the rest of this scripture. How did that happen? I died. Who walked out of my death experience? Jesus did. If Jesus hadn't have been alive in me, I couldn't have gotten up and walked out. If Jesus hadn't have come in me, I would still be dead. It is the power of Christ that is within you that drives your new life. It empowers it. It leads it. It says, the life I now live in this body, I live by faith, trusting in, clinging to, and relying upon the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So when the enemy comes along and says, well, you need drugs, they say, well, Jesus isn't addicted to drugs. And He's who lives in me. We're talking real power. Real power. Okay? Real power. All right. Now, so that's what happens to you when you get saved. All right? You and the Spirit, your Spirit and the Holy Spirit becomes one. This process includes and has to have as part of it your death to the power and penalty of sin, because Jesus can't come into a sinful vessel, one controlled by sin. So you died. He came in. Through His blood, the penalty of your sins is paid. Through His death, the power of the old life is broken. The sins that I have created, done, performed, and the sins of others against me. And this includes me to being a death to just being, what I said last week, a victim of circumstance. Well, in my old life, some bad things happened to me. And now, I just can't get past them. Through the death of Jesus, we're not erasing history, but we're breaking the power of those things to control your life going forward. Because Jesus isn't controlled by sexual abuse. He heals it and delivers you from it. Okay? No sin is too great that it is too powerful to be destroyed by the power of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. No sin is too great. My life is no longer determined by my failures and other people's sinful perpetrations against me. My life's no longer controlled by the imperfections of life. They may happen to me, but they don't take control and determine where I'm going to end up and what's going to happen to me. They may change some things, but God is still in control. Because as a child of God, nothing can happen to you that doesn't come before the Lord for His approval before it happens to you. And it's all part of the plan. Everybody say it's all part of the plan. Now, we live in a tough world, and it's hard sometimes. Difficult. Tough. God will never leave you or forsake you. And He can take even the bad things in your life and make them work together for good somehow. He can bring a ministry out of the pains in life. Okay? Now, I know we've got an enemy in this life who can attack and hurt and wound, and who does, especially if you're being effective for the kingdom of God. But that's not the end of the story, brothers and sisters. He's a dog on a leash. He can only go so far in your life. And He has limitations. He doesn't have carte blanche to do anything to you He wants to do. And the beauty of it is you have resurrection power in your life. And I'm not demeaning your losses, because some of you have had great losses. But I'm going to tell you what, the resurrection power of Jesus can redeem even the losses that you've experienced. It can redeem them. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I don't know, but it can. I do know. You can give your life to Jesus, and you can give your losses to Jesus, and He, in His infinite power, can take those in His hands and make something out of that. Make something happen where it looked like death. He can bring a life experience through it. Sounds crazy, but it's true. Through the blood of Jesus, I'm dead to the control of sin. But I'm raised to walk in newness of life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus is getting ready to leave his disciples and go. He, in his personhood, is getting ready to leave his disciples and go and sit at the right hand of the Father, ever to live to make intercession, to have the blood on the altar for his children. Okay? And he had told his children that he would not leave them as orphans. He would not leave them alone, but he would send a helper, a paraclete, a minister who was just like him in heart and spirit. He would send that one to his children who would be with them forever, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, right before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples this, but you shall receive what? Power. Brothers and sisters, we can't discount the power of God. Losses would be staggering if it were not for the power of God. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the very end of the earth. Say, well, Pastor Parkey, that's talking about the Holy Spirit's power for us to minister. Yes, it is. But that's not all that this power does in our life. The word power there is the word dunamis. It's from which we get our word dynamite. Something that has explosive power and the ability to change the landscape. There is no hard place that can resist the power of God, that it cannot detonate and blow that hard place away. There is nothing stronger that can overcome the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that power means, when Jesus said, you shall receive dynamite into your life, it's the power which the resurrection of Jesus has for instructing, reforming, elevating, tranquilizing the soul. Tranquilizing, bringing peace, bringing healing where there was none. Now the soul is intended to express itself under the authority of the Spirit. I said that earlier. And the Spirit empowers the soul to be what it is created to be. You could say that the Holy Spirit comes along and releases excellence into our soul. Moral excellence. Okay? The ability for us to be what we cannot be naturally on our own. The Holy Spirit comes, it reforms, it restores, it heals, it elevates, it brings peace to the soul. It gives the soul the love and the identity it needs to complete its mission, to be who and what it was created to be. The Lord loves you back into health. And that love is powerful. Powerful. So, I'm going to go through this one more time. So let's say you get saved. Because I really don't know that we know what happens when we get saved. So I'm going to repeat this one more time. Let's say you got saved. You go home, you live in the same blasted body, and you live at the same address. So what really happened there? I tell you what happened. You died to the control of sin and the victimization of circumstances. You've been raised after that death to walk in to live a new life through submission to the Holy Spirit's direction. The Holy Spirit removes the restrictions off of you that sin has placed in your soul. How does He do that? By healing your wounds, by destroying unbiblical lies, and by loving you unconditionally. You're free from other people's opinions. You're free from fears. You're free from the effects of devastating circumstances. The effects, I said, lasting effects. Because of your faith and your belief in who you are in Christ and through your faith in the miracle working power of God. So a believer can go through a hard time and get wounded and go through something very difficult. But a believer, not like an unbeliever. If you're an unbeliever, none of this applies to you until Jesus becomes your Lord. It's available for you, but none of it applies to you till He's your Lord. None of it. Not that He doesn't want you to have it, it just doesn't work that way. But as a believer, you can go through life and you can get hurt and you can get wounded by something and you can have a really traumatic experience. But when we attend a funeral, what is the difference between a Christian funeral and a non-believer's funeral? We believe in what? The resurrection power of Jesus. And we know that through the resurrection of power of Jesus, what we're experiencing at the moment is not the final solution. It's real, but it's not the final word. What do we believe in? The power of the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, that power will have the final say and will take control over everything we're going through in the now. Yeah, I'm going through a hard time. Yeah, it's been rough. I've been hurt. And if it were not for the power of the Holy Spirit, this would be devastating. I would never be able to recover from it. But because of Jesus, I may be crying right now, but inside of me, I have hope. I have a confident assurance in the power of the Holy Spirit. And somehow, some way, in some form, at some time, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to engage in this thing. Not that it's not now, but we're going to see it. And He is going to work in this thing and bring the kingdom of God out of it. What is the kingdom of God? The dominion of the King of heaven. That's what makes us different from people who don't know Christ. I had a grandfather in my life. He's actually my step-grandfather. I never knew my real grandfather on either side. Either side of my family. But my maternal grandfather played a huge role in my life. He wasn't even my blood grandfather. He was step-grandfather. But man, did he love us kids. He'd let us do anything to him. Seriously, if he needed to shave, he let us shave him. You know, I mean, he was just one of those kind of guys. Never played a day with me, never got out in the yard, threw a ball with me, never did any of that stuff. But anywhere he went, the door was open for us to go with him. You see what I'm saying? So anywhere we went, he'd say, come on and go with me. So he was just an old country guy. He did a lot of stuff to supplement his income. He fought chickens. We lived way out in West Texas, so he'd take them across the border into New Mexico where gambling was legal. And he would gamble on his chicken fights. And I'm telling you, he had some murderers in his pens. I'm telling you, those dudes could fight. He had one rooster. He was the most gentle thing. You could hold him, and he'd coo when you'd pet him. The guy fought 10 times and won every fight on the first time the two come together. He brought the death blow on the other chicken, both times. All 10 times. He just had interesting stuff he did. Man, we'd go to we used to go to the dump ground with him because he'd bring back iron and aluminum and stuff and sell it by the pound, you know what I mean? We'd go to the dump ground. That was the most fun place to go, man. You know, the dump ground is an awesome place to hang out. Now, we wouldn't let our kids anywhere near the dump ground anymore because we're germaphobes now. Man, we played with the dead animals that the vets dropped in the dump ground. We found comic books in there, man. We found all kinds of stuff. We brought back hats. My grandmother would get horrified. We'd have a hat on our head when we come back. Where did you get that? In the dump ground. Take it off. Let me wash it. It was awesome. It was awesome. Ain't a better place than the dump ground. Paul, that's what I called him. He called it the caliche pit. I remember I was about 5 or 6 years old, and we're driving down the country dirt road together, just dirt road, and my grandfather says, "You want to drive?" Well, I couldn't even reach the... He said, "Come on over, drive." I said, "Well, Paul, I never driven before." He said, "It doesn't matter, it's okay. Everybody's got to start somewhere." I mean, this was an interesting dude. He had the private parts of animals on his dashboard. He's a hunter. He's an interesting guy. Really interesting guy. So we'd get out there and we'd drive, and you'd be driving barely. He's just sitting there, he's just relaxed he could be. Somebody might get in front of us, he'd say, "Whoop on around him, son. I can barely keeping it. Keeping it together here." You know what I'm saying? I don't even know where I was going with all this. What was I talking about, Rhonda? You weren't even listening, were you? You know what he did? Like I said, he fought those roosters. And one of the things he did, and I know if I've got any PETA people in here, I'm just sorry, okay? This is Texas, all right? One of the things that he did, he wouldn't fight them with those combs on them, because the other rooster could grab that comb and then... So he'd cut the combs off of them with scissors. Man, that chicken's eyes would roll back in its head when he's cutting it. For about three, I said, "Papa, he going to be okay?" He said, "Well, we'll know in about 3 days. He'd pull their feathers out of their stomach and stick it up there, stop the bleeding. They'd walk around for 3 days with us. And you'd go to the pen, they'd just kind of sit and look at you. You were a part of this. And I will remember that when I recover. But anyway, it was just a wonderful experience to be. Like I said, I don't know where I was going with that. It was a wonderful experience. But he loved us. He loved us. And really, that love was a link to the survival of a lot of hard things that were going on in our family and just in the world in general. And you know, the Lord's going to love you guys back into health. And there's a power in that that is greater than anything else you've experienced before. It's greater, stronger. It has the ability to destroy walls and shape identity, which has the ability to shape destiny. And that's what Jesus is doing with you. Some of you are riding down the dirt road with Jesus. You got a problem. Jesus is saying, "Whoop on around it." Amen. I can't do that. I've never done this before. I'm petrified. And you look over there and the peace and the serenity and the presence, but what else? The power is there to overcome anything that you face. And so today I want to pray with you. And we need to remember the 1-2 punch of Jesus when we're dealing with things in our lives. The punch of the blood. Okay? You are dead to the old person. You are dead. You say, "Well, Pastor, I've been trying to get free of some things and they're not seeming to leave my life." I'm going to tell you something. The death that you went through the death of Jesus, is more powerful. It will manifest. It will. The sin's not strong enough to keep it from doing that. What may be going on is we need the power of the Holy Spirit to come in and reshape some things in our soul, heal some things, empower us, because the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do the works of Jesus and to believe the words of Jesus. Okay? So let's all stand. We're going to pray. And you know what, men? Our men are as wounded as anybody else. Men close their hearts off to talk like this. Men, come on, guys. We're just as hurt as anybody. This isn't just a woman's conversation. This is a conversation about life and where we live. Right? You know what has a tendency to happen? What has a tendency to happen sometimes is when we get wounded significantly at a certain point in our life, sometimes what happens is we freeze emotionally at the age that we receive that wound. Now, we'll grow physically, we'll keep growing, but we'll freeze emotionally at that age. And you know what? That's not conducive to us living an adult life. We've got to be healed and set free of those restrictions so that we can move on out and heal and become the person God wants us to be. Okay? So let's pray together. Let's start with the blood. Father, we want to thank you for the blood. The blood of Jesus destroyed the power of every sin and every event in my life to control me and determine my future. It destroyed the power of sin, not just my sins and my habits, but the powers of sin that people committed against me. No one's in control of my life now. That old person's dead. I've been raised to walk in newness of life. This is a brand new experience. I may still be around some of the people that have hurt me, but now I have the power to release them in my life so that I can walk in this newness of life. The power that others exert over me to control my destiny, to determine whether or not I'm happy or not, is broken. I'm dead to the things of the world, and I'm dead to their control. And the blood of Jesus paid the penalty for every sin I've ever committed. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God, for that. But Lord, I didn't stay in the grave. You came into my life, and you raised me. Now I'm raised to walk with a brand new partner. The Holy Spirit, the one who loves me, the one who loved me and gave himself for me, now lives in me. And Lord, I release the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to bring moral excellence into my soul. To bring the ability for me to say yes to the things of God rather than shaking my head at them. I release the power of the Holy Spirit in me to love other people. I release the power of the Holy Spirit in me to break the bondages that have come with my unbelief. I break patterns. I break habits. I break thought, ungodly ways of thinking. In the name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I release the new life of God in me. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking the restrictions and removing the fences from my life so that I can possess everything you want me to have. The Holy Spirit's power breaks the power of definitions that are not of God. I am not a failure. I am not a victim. I am not stupid. I am not unloved. I am not alone. I'm a dearly loved, highly cherished child of God. My future is unlimited. The plans that God has for me are good plans. And there's no devil in hell that can stop it from happening. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that creates in us excellence of soul. And I just give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. And you know, Father, we just praise you. We praise you, Lord. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. It's been great to spend time with you. When you go out this week, I want you to soak on this. We've got one more week of teaching in this. There's one more thing God wants me to share with you before we're through with this. But when you go out this week, I want you to think about, reckon yourself. The Apostle Paul said reckon. You know what that means? That's not just a southern word. Reckon means realign your identity to understand this is who you are. Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Okay? And when you begin to go through things that are difficult, release the power of the Holy Spirit on them. Okay? And then some of you, a lot of you, y'all just need to get into a quiet place and just soak on the love of God. Just soak it up. Let the Lord love on you. Take a ride with Him, like I did with my grandpa. Take a ride. Go to the dump ground with Him. There's some good things that we need to leave behind in that dump. Let's leave the garbage behind. Let's go out with Jesus. Okay? I want to ask